Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of transitions happening, a lot of shaking and a quaking, a lot of lives being affected, a lot of awakenings, many awakenings. There's many going to sleep and there's many awakening. There's so many people that are still, I want to say saved, but not born again yet. Because there's a born-again state of being that is very vitally important. You may be saved, but you're still carnal. But there is a born-again state of being where you begin to walk in the second chamber of the Most High God, and he invites you into the third chamber of the glory of God. And in this arena of the realm of his glory and the realm of the dimensional realms that are in God, and I say in God, and I'm going to give you a short little picture or something. If you were to take your hand and put it against your chest, what you hold in your hand is the universe compared to God. See, we always look at God as man because he came in the image of man that he created. But if you wanted to see the size of God, just put your hand towards here, and what's in your hand is the universe. He's a lot bigger than we could comprehend. And in his sections of the universe and beyond the universe, the word says in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we know that the first thing he created for this realm of the universe was time. He created a time place that he took out of eternity that he could place something, a universe, where he would set his creations. And then it says, and he created all the heavenlies. In other words, the heavenly hosts were created. So he created time and heavenly hosts. And there, these heavenly hosts are known as angels, spirits, stars, and they're also known as watchers. And there are certain functions and responsibilities for each one. Each one has a specific function and purpose. And there are multiple levels. And I want to talk about three areas, like choir. There's like a choir of the third heaven, the second heaven, the first heaven. And in these areas of choirs, there are areas of principalities, there's powers, there's thrones, there's seraphims and cherubims. And when we feel God's presence, it's because the angels who carry the fresh presence of God come. See, when you sense God's presence, people, when the Bible talks about the cloud of the glory of God, it's because there is a load, a spectacular amount of angels. It says that God will return, Jesus will return in the cloud of his glory with his angels. Why? Because his angels that are freshly been in the presence of the Lord, they leave and they carry God's presence. That's why in the song we were singing, on the wings of the angels is the presence of the Lord. You have visitations by angels or watchers that you don't even realize they are. Watchers can put on flesh also. The Bible says you never know who you're entertaining. You could be on a bus sitting next to somebody who's an angel. Jesus said something very profound when he was in the garden when Peter pulled out the sword to kill one of these soldiers that came to get Jesus out of the garden. Jesus said, put that away. After he picked up the dude's ear, slapped it back on his head, and healed him. He says, do you not realize that I could have 12 legions of angels? Well, there was him and 11 disciples. A legion is about 2,000 angels. The Bible tells us that there is an angel of the Lord that can kill 185,000 people. See, but the reality is to begin to look in this other arena, in this other realm. And by doing that, we get a better understanding of really what's happening. The Bible says that you and I were made a little bit lower than Elohim. We don't worship angels. People that worship angels are deceived. They are like brethren to me and you. We work together. Would you turn to the book of Daniel in chapter 4? The Watchers. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 13. Everybody there? Let's speak this. And I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a what? A watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and the roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts and on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, and let him be given a heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. Now, this was a judgment that was given, and it was given because of disobedience, because pride had taken hold of a king. Verse 17, this decision is by the decree of what? The watchers. Let me share something with you. These watchers have the authority to decree, and what they decree comes to pass. They spoke about Nebuchadnezzar, and in this, because of his pride and rebellion, God was going to take his glory away and everything he had and cause him to become a beast. And verse 17 again, and this decision was by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whoever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. So the watchers decree, these are angelic beings that interact with humans. They have multiple functions, and they are protectors of those who are in his image. Go to verse 34. So this decree was made, and at the end of the time that the decree was made, and at the end of the time that he had to become a beast, it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. In other words, his mind returned to him. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles restored to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and my excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. In other words, that's why Nebuchadnezzar became a beast. So God can change a human in their thoughts till they become a beast, decreed by the watchers. People have no idea some of the things that they do. Even, you know, they are also warriors. There's certain divisions of each one of them. In Psalm 91, would you go there? In verse 9 it says, and because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwellings. And he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. So there are times when, see, the angels, the watchers, they work on our behalf. They're working to fulfill the will of God in every one of our lives. I'll never forget, I was driving down the road, and I've shared this before, and I was out on bail. Anyways. And I happened to take my wife's car, and I was going to a Bible study, and I had the music loud, and I'm praising and worshiping the Lord. And this is probably about the first time I was driving in a while. I just got my license back. And next thing I know, I saw this light go off. I flew by the state trooper. I said, oh, no. I said, Lord. I looked at my speedometer. It was about 85. I'm going, oh. It was a Honda Civic. I didn't know I was going that fast. And I said, Lord, help me. And so this state trooper turned over and started chasing me. And he was getting closer and closer, and I began to pull over. I was on the East-West Expressway, and I began to pull over. And as I began to pull over, all of a sudden a car appeared between me and that state trooper. And the Lord said, keep driving. And I'm telling you, I'm on the side of the road. And the Lord says, keep driving. So I got back on the road and just kept driving. And I said, I'm not outrunning this guy. No, keep driving. And I realized then, I thought, man, I know there's an that car appeared, the angel appeared. I wonder where he got his license. But God can do all those things. There isn't anything impossible to those who believe. And I'm going to tell you that when you're in right standing with God, he's in right standing with you. All things are possible. So many times people are wondering what's going on. Let me tell you, when you're in position, there's an area that your heart must be right attitude, motive, and desire before God. If there's any pride in this, he doesn't hear, nor he doesn't answer quickly. He delays. He'll only meet your need. Does everybody get it? And one of the greatest things is to be enriched with God's presence, love, glory, revelations, dreams, and visions. And what happens even in our dreams and visions, angels, watchers come. They come and stand over you sometimes while you're sleeping to protect you. They're always there. Listen, if you've got 2,000 or 3,000 angels on your behalf, what the heck? But you must be right with God. Amen? In Psalm 103, in verse 19, would you read it with me? Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength to do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. In other words, when you speak the word of the Lord, when you speak his word, angels move on your behalf. Everything is done by the movement of the angels. There are angels that upkeep the universe, what we call the cosmos. Everything is upkept and maintained by the Lord's angels, or what we call watchers. They excel in strength. Now, they are also destroyers for judgment. In Psalm 78. In verse 49. 78:49. It says he casts on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of what? Destruction among them. The Bible also tells us in Revelation 9:15 that he will send out his angels to destroy or kill a third of mankind because they rejected. In Psalm 104, while we're here, in verse 4 it says, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. So angels are also known as a spirit because they are a spirit with a body. Angels do not need a body, they have one. And you'll find sometimes that some of them are almost human-like. There's different categories of them. Some of them look like creatures. Some of them look like warriors and so forth. Some of them have crowns. Some of them are princes and so forth in areas. There are multiple different ones. When you hear about the revelation, there's a spirit of revelation that comes to release. When the manna was released from heaven to feed the Jews, those were the angels that released it. That's why it was called angel food. It wasn't angel cake, okay? It was angel food. When you are baptized with fire in the Holy Spirit, you get a language that they call language of angels. Where you're able to speak in another tongue, and you speak directly to your Father. In Matthew 13, There are many testimonies of people being visited by angels. I know that with myself, and I was in the glory of God, and the Lord has revealed many things in that area with through angels. Sometimes you don't even see their faces, you just see the glory. Some of them are glowing. Did you ever hear? Some of them are like the orbs. Man, we start praising and worshiping the Lord, it's like there's orbs. If you take a picture, you'll see orbs around. Like little, they're balls, like, but those are their presence. In Matthew 13 and 41, it says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend him, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them in the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So angels come also, they gather. They also gather his elect, but they also separate. And they will do his bidding. And Matthew 18. I have a lot of short little scriptures here just so that we can get a good idea of what's happening, get a picture. Look at this. It's powerful. It says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. 18:10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. In other words, they stand in the gap. When a child is abused, those angels stand in the gap. They're in the face of the Father. They're always relating. That's why it says you might as well put a millstone around your neck if you abuse one of these kids. They stand before the Father in the gap for the children. In Psalm 34, the watchers. The word tells us that when we stand before the Lord that there'll be a book of remembrance. That book of remembrance is taken from the watchers. They see it all. And it's recorded. In verse 7, 34:7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who what? Fear him, reverence him, honor him, respect him, worship him, and serve him. And delivers them. I can tell you that one night my wife and I were driving home, and it was a dark road, and it was a four-way street, and there was a stop sign on every side. And it was probably, I think we were coming from somebody's house and praying, and we came to the stop sign, and it was a country road, and it was dark. And I was driving the Honda Civic or Accord. I don't remember what it was. Prelude, I don't know. And I had my foot on the clutch to go because there was no cars, nothing. And I could not lift my foot off the clutch. I could not move. It was like a hand held me. And I couldn't move. I was paralyzed. And I was trying to say to my wife, why can't I move? And I couldn't say anything yet. I was paralyzed. Like something had just engulfed me and stopped me from every moment. I said my thoughts. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Why can't I move? And as I was thinking that, my wife said it. Why aren't you moving? I'm thinking, And while I was held in that position, somebody ran the stop sign about 50 miles an hour. Nobody saw it. And after they ran the stop sign, that lifted from me. And I realized then why I couldn't move. And I was like, I couldn't move. I'm telling you, the angel of the Lord just grabbed hold of me. I knew it was God's presence carried by the angel of the Lord to protect me. Hallelujah. So in it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, reverence him, honor him, respect him, worship him, and serve him. Of course, obey him. And Zechariah 3. Zechariah chapter 3. In verse 1. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, so then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to what? Oppose him. Now, I want to show you why Satan was able to stand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord what? Rebuke you, Satan. The angel of the Lord said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not the brand who plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity, your sins, your transgressions from you. And I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house. And likewise have charge over my courts. I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. So we see that he was granting him favor, wasn't he? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God. Isaiah 37. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Isaiah 37 and verse 36. Is everybody there? Isaiah 37, verse 36. It says, then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were corpses all dead. He killed 185,000 people. One angel. In Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. These are ones that have put on flesh. In Romans chapter 8. See, New Agers worship angels. There's religions that worship angels. The New Agers, the New Age system, those are actually occults. They worship angels. They channel spirits and worship angels. We don't worship angels. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Is everybody there? You sure? Hallelujah. In verse, let's see. Okay. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor what? Nor what? Angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now he's speaking about places. These angels that or watchers that are in places, he talks about principalities and powers. He talks about the angels or anything else in height or depth. And those are areas that I want to talk about here in a second. If you'll go to Colossians chapter 1. Angels, there are no such thing as Cupid angels, okay? Those are demons. Those are lust demons. Valentine's Day is a lust day. It's not a godly day. People send gifts to one another because they got something they want. Hello. And that little demon that floats around with that little arrow, shoots someone. Oh! Then they look at someone and go, oh, I'm in love. No, that's lust affair, not a love affair. Hallelujah. Many people try to, especially a lot of guys, try to make up on Valentine's Day when they've been in a doghouse for a while because there's an ulterior motive behind it, which we won't go in here. Colossians chapter 1. I do not celebrate Valentine's Day. It's an occult day. For me and you, every day should be an honor and a blessing to our spouses. There should always be some kind of gratefulness and attitude. It's amazing how the world set trends, all these trends and days. Oh, this is the day of the lust. Then they got the Halloween. This is the day to worship the moon. Let's dress up like demons and have fun. It's all demonic and occult. It's all set forth by the powers of darkness. And people fall right into it. Because they don't know any better. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Dress their kids up as little demons. E.T., oh, how cute. Oh, E.T., go home. E.T. can't go home. He's been sentenced here. Hello. Hallelujah. Anybody ever think about that? They think something's going to go this way. No. He's sentenced to the earth. He's one of the grays. They live in the ground. They got bases here in the earth. I'm not going to go there. Not tonight, anyways. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Woohoo. It says, he is the image, God, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether what? Thrones, underline these here, thrones. Or dominions, underline dominions. Or principalities, underline that. Or powers, those are places. All things were created through him and for him, and they're in him. We live and have our being in him. Ezekiel chapter 1. Now I'll tell you, Ezekiel was blessed, man. This guy saw some stuff. Ezekiel chapter 1. The Lord took him. It says in verse 4, it says, then I looked and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north in a great cloud. What's a cloud have? What's a cloud in a cloud? Angels. It's a cloud. And a great cloud with raging fire. See, there are certain angels that are carry fire. They're known as fire angels. There's wind angels. There's angels of water. These are things that they control and rule. A great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself in the brightness all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. So can you imagine seeing this coming, this big cloud and all of the fire just flying all over the place? Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. These living creatures are also known as seraphim. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and their soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished wood or burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each one of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each one had the face of a man. Each one had the face, a face of a lion on the right side. Each one had the face of an ox on the left, and each one had the a face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another. Two covered their bodies, and each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in the appearance like a flash of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of braille, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And they moved, and they went toward any one of the four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome. And their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the Spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And this sounds like some kind of glorious rocket ship or something, you know. But it was actually the throne of God. And in this, we were talking about the area of the living creatures, which are seraphim. And they are actually above the throne of God. So they always are above it. And these are known also as seraphims. And the wheels within the wheels are also, when you sometimes hear the word spirit, it's because these are also watchers. These are angels. So sometimes it's hard to comprehend that they're within, because they are so dimensional and so deep that even the wheels within the wheels are known as the spirit. These are all angels within angels within angels. All the powers in the presence of God. Every one of them carrying a specific purpose. Man, when we get home, we're going to be blown away, I'll tell you that. And the spirit of the living creatures, there are angels on both sides of the throne. And these angels that are on both sides are called cherubs. So the seraphim and the living creatures, they're above the throne of God. The cherubs are on the sides of the throne. Is everybody with me? And they have a specific purpose. In this, the living creatures, they do all of the glory and the praise and so forth. And if you'll go to Ezekiel 28, you'll see here. Is everybody okay? In verse 14, now the Lord is speaking to the king of Tyre. Also, he's also speaking to the area of the spiritual king of Tyre, who was Lucifer, Satan. He explains to them that you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you in the day you were created. That was Lucifer. He was a praise and worship leader. He was a cherub. Look at verse 14. And you were an anointed what? Cherub who covers. He covered the universe with praise. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. So Lucifer was a cherub. He was on the side of the throne of God. Now they can also play or hold multiple parts. They're also known as archangels too. In fact, there was four of them that we'll talk about in a minute. And that was after Lucifer was removed. So we understand in this here, in authority, that's why when the angel rebuked Satan, he can only say, the Lord rebuke you. He couldn't, because he didn't have authority. Does everybody understand that? The Lord rebuke you, because even Satan himself still held a higher authority. So I want you to think about something, that if he was one of the cherubs that was on the right side of, or on one of the sides of the throne, think about the power and anointing he had. You don't think he can't rule this earth? Well, he does. And everything in it. The finances, the TV, the communications, the radios, everything he rules. Money, and puts his own people in government. He rules it all. You remember when Jesus came, what did he do? He offered Jesus, if you'll worship me, you can have, let me show you all the kingdoms I own here. Jesus rebuked him, said, you shall, he won't worship. So we see here that in this, of these angels having different authorities, functions, there's an area of, I want to say, respect in that. You know, I don't worship Satan, but I do respect his power. And people who don't understand it or respect that power and authority that he has are idiots. Because he can outwit anyone in a second. And he does. People just think that they're going through life and there's, no problems. Yeah, I've got, man, just working, having kids and leaving this and doing, nothing. Never doing anything for the kingdom. Well, they go to church and they pay their tithes, but they're not willing to get right with God themselves or get clean to be used by God. That's all they want to do is start a family. They want to do this. They want to do that. I. Lord, what do you want? You know, one of the things is to step back and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not what I want to do. What do you want me to do? Well, this came across my path. It must be God. Well, did you ask? Well, it can't be a coincidence. No, there's no coincidence. The devil either sent it or God did. But this is where it's important that we know his voice, and we know his presence, and we know his leading. Amen? And Revelation 20, in verse 4. Revelation 24. Is everybody there in verse 4? And it says, I what? I saw thrones, And they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and who did not worship the beast or his image, and did not receive his mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. These thrones are also places. Thrones, these are symbols. These are living symbols of God's justice and authority. They are living symbols of God's justice and authority. So we see here in the first choir of section, I want to call this, there are three things that are involved here. We have seraphim, cherubim, and thrones. Seraphim, cherubim, and thrones. Those are in the choir. In the second choir, we have what it's called dominion or lordship. And their purpose and position there is the duties over nations. So we have dominion or lordship, virtues, and their purpose is to supervise movements to enrich the cosmos or universe to remain everything in order. Everything stands in order. So they make sure that everything rotates. They make sure the suns burn. They make sure that stars burn out when they're supposed to burn out. Everything is set perfectly. And powers. Now, in this realm, in this second core where we've got dominions, virtues, and powers, we know in this area of powers, where this is where warring angels are also. Well, when you'll get more understanding when we go to Ephesians 6. In the third choir, we have principalities, archangels, and angels. Principalities, archangels, and angels. And again, we see that that's closer to the earth, isn't it? These are ones that they intermingle with humans. They rule over nations of people, and they carry out the orders from the dominions. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 12, is everybody there? So when Lucifer was removed, the cherub, okay, when he was removed from the presence of God, because he was on the side of the throne, as a cherubim, we have seraphim that were above. When he was removed, he was already in charge of all the watchers, those who worked under him, under dominions and powers and so forth. So that's all he did, was he took a third of what God had created of all the angels and set them up in his kingdom so that he has dominions and powers and so forth. Does everybody understand this? Again, he was a high-ranking angel, also had multiple functions, even as an archangel. But he was a cherub. He was actually the first angel God created. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. These are princes. Against powers. Against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Principalities are chief angels. Principalities are chief angels. Again, against the powers, those are warring angels in that realm. Associated with dominions. Dominions are locations. It says, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, these are the gods of the world, fallen watchers, offsprings, hybrids, ETs, grays, they call them. See, people call these things aliens because they don't really know any different. Oh, they're aliens from other planets. No, they're demons. They're fallen watchers. They have technologies. Yes, they do have flying saucers. They do have ships to get around. They are multidimensional. They can infiltrate from other dimensions. That's why people do get abducted. And it says, in spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. These are the wicked heavenly places, dominions and thrones that they have. Satan also has his own thrones in multiple locations. He's got them not only in the earth, but in the heavenlies. He's got them in the waters. He's got open ports. There are certain segments that are set up. There are also degrees that he does, and he has an area that he rules. Is everybody okay? And Zechariah 6. Oh, gosh. Zechariah chapter 6, in verse 4, it says, "Then I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' And the angel answered and said to me, 'These are four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth.'" And these are also known as angels or watchers. You'll see things that are said spirits, but sometimes they represent angels or watchers. And the book of Daniel tells us that Daniel was waiting for an answer from the Lord. And the angel of the Lord showed up. And he said, "Man, it took me 21 days to get here. Why? Because I had a fight in the heavenlies. I was fighting against the principality of Persia. And I had to wait for Michael to come and relieve me so I could bring you the message." These battles still go on. They battle against the angels working on your behalf. In Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the fallen watchers that put on flesh and came into this realm and had sex with women, took them as wives, and they produced offsprings which were known as Nephilim. And those Nephilims became demons. And then these angels that were fallen watchers, the Lord took and chained them for judgment. The Bible tells us in Matthew 22:30, and I'm going to just share some of these with you, that you and I will be like angels. We'll be like angels with dominion, authority. But we have it right now. Now, I want to share something with you very powerful before I close. The angels and the watchers, we work together. God waits for you to decree the word of the Lord so he can send them out on your behalf. But the fallen angels, the dominions and powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, that are under the rule of Satan, who was a cherub, who has a third of the angels now, is going to utilize them. They rule over demons. They carry out orders. They're not only in the heavenlies, but they're also in the earth. They are soldiers. They have foot soldiers, just like a military. There's a war going on. And in the book of Enoch, after Adam reached his age to time to die, he knew he was dying. He was sick and ill. And he told his wife to gather all of his children. And Seth and all of his children were there, and they were at a place where they worshiped the Lord. And Seth said to Adam, he said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I'm sick and I'm dying." He said, "What's sickness and what is pain?" See, they didn't know. And he said, "Father, is it because you are not able to eat of the fruit that you were once able to eat in paradise, which was the tree of life?" Now the Lord had set a cherub there with a flaming sword so that no one could take of the tree of life and live forever. And Eve said, "Why don't we go and throw dust on us and go before to the gate of paradise, and maybe God will send an angel out and allow you to eat of this fruit that you may live." And so they did that, Seth and Eve. And when they were outside of the gate of paradise, which we know was the garden, after a period of time, an angel of the Lord came and said, and they asked if they could get Adam to eat of this fruit or get the fruit of the tree of life. And he said, "Adam's soul will be home in 3 days." In other words, he was refused. He would be home. Now, something occurred on the way which was very powerful. So as Eve and Seth, their son, were on their way to paradise, to the gate, to request this, they were attacked by a beast and a serpent, and Seth got bit. And Eve rebuked him. And so, "Why did you open your mouth on my son?" And he said, "Did you not open your mouth and eat of the fruit?" And Seth stood up and said, "Why have you come against the image of God? Go." And they had to go because he reminded them that they were in his image, in the image of God. Does everybody understand that? See, one of the things the devil doesn't want you to know is who you are and your identity. See, when you begin to battle, you better know that you are in God's image. And if you're not walking in God's image, then you won't have victory. If you're still out there touching unclean things and doing all kinds of stuff, you're not in God's image. You're nullifying it. But those demons know, those powers know, those fallen watchers know, those demonic forces know whether you're walking in God's image. And they will challenge you until you decree, "How dare you come against me, one who's in his image?" Do you understand that? In Romans 8, and we'll close here. And I was blown away when I read that. So that is powerful. See, but you and I, and that's why you must be born again, so that you're in his image. Romans 8, 28. Let's close here and read this together. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What? He glorified us so that we can glorify him. Don't let the enemy steal. Know that there are watchers. There's watchers on your behalf, and there are watchers that are against you. In every realm, dominions, powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, they're out to kill, steal, destroy, and divide. They promote the works of the flesh. They mess with the mind. And they love to bring sickness too. But remember, if you are walking in the image of God as his offspring, you have dominion over all things. Amen. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And let the seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. And let there be revelation to each and every one here today. And may the Lord bless all those who are watching, listening, and all those here today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.